a question that I feel like I ask all the time as well. Have you ever found yourself totally panicked? Totally like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe there was an accident. Maybe there was something that's taken place that you're just like, I don't know what to do. And in those moments, we're faced with the question, who am I going to call, right? Not Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call in those moments when you're stuck, when you're frozen? Some might call a relative or a friend. Some might call 911 if it's an emergency that is overwhelming. And one that I will never forget about that happened in my life was one that happened probably about 5 years ago or so. As we had a little two-year-old at the time, that was Ethan, who was about 2 years old, and he had a coughing fit as he was going to bed, and we thought he was okay. We put him to sleep, and he woke up in the middle of the night coughing and wheezing. And if you've ever had a little one with difficulty breathing, you know, man, that's a terrifying, terrifying thing to see. And this night, we found out later, my son was actually having an asthma attack. Now, I had suffered with childhood asthma as a little kid. I don't remember it because I grew out of it, and I didn't have a lot of memories of it. But I had it that night, and that night we were worried as we saw my son struggling to breathe, struggling to get air in and out, and just watching his little chest pulsing as he tried to breathe. And we were worried. And so that night, we happened to live right up the street from my folks, who are probably watching right now. Hi, Mom. Who are living up the street. My mom's an ER nurse. My dad's a doc. And so we called them up and said, what should we do? And because we have a nurse on duty right up the street, she drove right over. And so we sat there after I hung up the phone. Is this working now, Jake? Should be, okay. So as I hung up the phone, when is she going to help? And so I was in this place, and the time between that call, it felt like every breath took an hour. You ever had one of those kind of moments where you're just waiting? You're waiting for help to show up. You're waiting for something to change. Now, Ethan did fine. As soon as she got there, she had an inhaler and some other medicine for him to take, and he recovered. And because it was inhaler-type medicine at 1 in the morning, my two-year-old started running around like a crazy man, and he had energy at 1 or 2 in the morning, which was really fun. And he lived to grow out of this, but this morning I was reminded of that story as we look at the story of a man named Jairus who had a child that was struggling, who needed a touch from God. He needed a miracle. He needed help to show up to help him in his situation. And perhaps maybe you're in a situation like that right now. Maybe it's not an asthma fit. Maybe it's something else in your life that you need God to show up for. And this morning I pray that as we open up God's word that he would speak to you, because he is still in the miracle business. So let's look at Luke chapter 8 starting in verse 40. And we'll look at that starting in verse 40. It says this. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And as Jesus went, the people pressed around him. I'm just going to pause right there. If you're following along in your Bible, we're going to skip down to verse 49. We're going to find that middle story next weekend. But let me just say this. This man tried what he could, and there he goes to Jesus to bring him to his daughter, to bring help. And along the way, there's a distraction. We'll talk again about that next weekend. But there's a woman that needs help as well. And it feels like for a moment in time that help isn't coming, that help is delayed. And I just want to say this real quickly. We're going to talk about it next week. But it felt like help was delayed. But they were freaking out at the home, but help was on the way. And I just want to say that as a word to some of you today. You might be freaking out. You might be going through something. You don't know how you're going to get through. But help is on the way. In fact, would you turn to the person next to you and say, help is on the way. See, that is something that I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves of, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what our struggles are, no matter how dark the night seems, help's on the way. And Jesus wants to come and bring transformation to our situations. So let's pick it up in verse 49. We're going to continue with Jairus' story. starting down there. It says, while he was still speaking, he was talking to somebody on the way. Someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. Verse 52, and they were all weeping and mourning for her, but he said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. Say at once. And he directed that something should be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. I want to dig into this story because let me just say something to you. Wherever you're at or whatever you're going through this morning, God is still in the miracle business. If you're taking notes, that's the first fill in the blank. He's still in the miracle business. He's able to raise to life things that are dead in our lives. I don't know what it is or what's going on in your life, but God is still able to heal the sick. God is still able to raise the dead, still able to cast out demons, still able to do the impossible, the God-sized things that only he can do. God is still in the miracle business, friends. Does anyone believe that today? Okay, good. I'm glad I got some believers in the house. See, what it amazes me is that what God can do when we will trust him with our worries, when we'll metaphorically pick up the phone and call Jesus first with our things. And it's an amazing thing that happens. I always joke about it. I say it's such a coincidence that I pray and things happen, right? And sometimes we try and justify it that way, right? I was praying for healing and I got healed. It's a coincidence. I don't know. Maybe it was something else that happened. In fact, I was just having this conversation with my son this week about a story of faith that maybe you've heard about, maybe you don't know about, something, this small thing that God did here at the church. About, you know, we pray for something, and man, bam, it's like a coincidence. It just happens, something changes, something comes up, something miraculously turns around that we weren't expecting. Something changes. It's like coincidence. No, I think it's a miracle of God. But I don't believe that because I believe it's what God is doing. And right before we went to kids camp this summer, maybe you guys remember in June, we sent a bunch of kids up to kids camp. And for about a week before we left for kids camp, I had noticed on a Sunday morning, I got to church and I opened up my car and I like to park sometimes over on this side of the building where there's nobody else parking. And I opened my door and there's a giant swarm of bees. I don't know if you guys saw that or ever remembered that, but on this side of the building, we call this our worship center, but they thought it was a sanctuary that they could live. They set up their beehive, and they were swarming there. And if you know anything about bees, you know sometimes they'll swarm from one spot to another along their way. And so we thought, maybe they're just going to hang out here for a day or two and check it out. And so a day went by, and then 2 days went by, and then a week went by. And then by that time, we started saying, okay, they're setting up a hive. And so the day before I leave for kids camp, I look up, and of course, there's honeycomb. And I see their honeybees. I would have loved the honey. It would have been great. But with all the kids and people we've got wandering around the campus, it wasn't a safe thing. And so I began praying, Lord, what should we do? How do we get rid of them? And I have all these ideas running through my mind of me hitting it with a pole and then running away. That one didn't win out. My wife vetoed that one. But I get back from kids camp and we have a council meeting. We're talking with our church council about what should we do. Hire a bee company and they can come out. David had a great idea. He was going to use a hose and we were just going to close the door real fast so he wouldn't get stung. We didn't go for that one. So we're praying about it and kind of, you know, we pray, Lord, you know, help us make a decision on what we should do to take care of this because we need to get rid of it. And so the next morning, I come into the office here. I come into work, and I was going to call the bee company. And, of course, I drove the long way into the parking lot and drove by. And I looked up, and this was the day that we had the heat wave here in Simi Valley. I don't know if you remember the heat wave that we had over the summer. Some of you remember it. It's when God moved the sun about 400,000 miles closer to Simi Valley. Remember that day? It was 115 degrees. Thank you, Lord. And so on that day, as I'm driving with my air conditioner on, my windows up, I look up and I see no beehive. And I look down and I see a beehive that had fallen. The sun had melted it away. And I thought, you know, Lord, what a coincidence. I prayed and I asked you, Lord, we need wisdom on what to do. We're going to have to spend a bunch of money to have someone remove this thing. I'm going to call them today, and it's gone. And the bees weren't injured. They were able to, they kept coming back and grabbing pieces of their hive, and they flew off and found another home. But we prayed about it, and bam, something happened. Coincidence? No, it's a miracle. And God is still in the miracle business, friends. He's still able to raise to life things that are dead in you. He's still able to heal things that are broken in you. He's still able to fix things that you cannot fix in your life. And when we're in a situation of need, the very first step is crucial. And I want you to see what this man did in Luke 8:41 again. It says, he came to Jesus, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him. He said, come to my house. This man, he knows his daughter, his only daughter, is on her deathbed. There's nothing he can do to fix her problems. And so he goes searching for help, and he finds Jesus. And he gives us this reminder that when life overwhelms you, you've got to get to Jesus and ask him for help. When life overwhelms you, and it will overwhelm you at some point or another, you've got to get to Jesus. And this man is without hope. He's tried what he knows to try. Likely he's called doctors and others to come and try and help his daughter. He's tried the medicine. He's tried the natural remedies. He's tried everything he knows. And now he does the one thing that's truly transformative. He gets himself to Jesus, and he asks Jesus for help. And this man, his daughter, is too sick to get her to Jesus, and so he goes to Jesus and begs, come to my house where my daughter is at. Now, I'll just say something. Falling at the feet of another person is a deeply humbling posture. I don't care what culture you're part of. The act of bowing before someone at their feet is a humbling posture that says, in essence, I'm looking to you for your mercy. If you were to stand before a king and kneel before a king, man, that guy's got a sword. He could cut your head off. That man has got a foot. He could kick you. And in essence, what you're saying is, I submit myself to you. I need your help. I cry to you for mercy because you're the only one that can help. This man discovers a truth that's later revealed by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, that we're never more strong than we are in our weakness when we will learn to rely on God. In fact, this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says, but Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Just as we talked about in worship today, man, God, I would rather sit here in sickness and infirmity and poverty and whatever I am, if you're there, than to go somewhere where you're not, because I want your power. I need you. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. As you probably heard it said, that when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. And very often when we find ourselves in places of weakness, that's when God is able to demonstrate his power most profoundly. When you're in a place where you say, God, I need you to break through. I need some sort of transformation to happen. And perhaps it can be any number of things. Maybe you're struggling financially, not sure how you're going to pay the next bill or how you're going to get through the next month or how to pay your mortgage or your rent this month. We love happy noises, don't we? But there's moments where we feel stuck, where we don't know how we're going to get through things. Perhaps you're struggling in a relationship, longing for a breakthrough, longing for God to do something that you don't know how to get through. And let me just say something. When you're down to nothing, you're out of ideas, God's up to something. If we'll get to Jesus and ask him for help. See, it's in those moments that if we will do that, if we'll get to Jesus, that's when transformation can take place. That's when things that are hopeless and helpless get filled with hope and help shows up. See, it's in those moments that we see God break through to our stories. And something happens to us when we're up against a wall. Let me just say something. I don't have a theological basis for this, but let me just say something. God's power doesn't change. So God isn't more powerful just because you're weak. So we're like, I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to lift this week because I want God to be stronger. No, it's not saying that. But something happens to us when we're weak, doesn't it? Our posture changes, right? When I got it figured out, I got this, God. When I don't, Jesus, I need your help. Has God's power changed? No. But my posture has. My heart has. I know I have a need. See, in those moments of desperation, we might do something that we wouldn't do in any other situation. We're willing to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, God, I need your help. We invite him to our house. Maybe we only see him at church, but that moment we invite him to our house. We invite him into our job. We invite him into our relationship. We invite him into the places of desperation that we need help with. And we ask for a breakthrough. As Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, when I realize my need and I cry out to the God of heaven in the midst of my weakness, I have the power of heaven on my side. I have the Savior of the world working on my behalf. See, when I'm down to nothing, God is up to something if I'll simply call him. And Jairus understood this, which is why he cries out to Jesus. Just a small little side note. I love his name, Jairus. As I was looking and studying the scripture this morning, a name that was given him probably 30 or more years before this incident with Jesus. See, Jairus' name is the Greek variant of a Hebrew name, Jair, which means God will awaken. And I find that so awesome, by the way, how this man was given this name, because not only did Jesus awaken his daughter who was sleeping and wake her back up, but I believe that Jesus was awakening something in his heart this day. He was teaching him something in his life. And our story continues, and Jesus begins the journey to Jairus' house, and he gets stopped along the way when the most unfortunate news that any parent could ever get, that no parent should ever get, comes to this man's ears. His daughter has died. His worst fears have come to pass. And perhaps you're in a moment like that. If you've ever been through a moment like that, you know how devastating, how painful, how upending those kind of moments can be. But he gets the news in that moment. And maybe you've gotten something like that, a call that you were hoping you'd not get from the doctor, that the news is in, the tests are back, and they're not good. Maybe you find news at job that something's changing, that the cutbacks that you're hoping wouldn't affect you, they have. See, we've all been in those moments, and this is what happens in Jairus's, Luke 8:49. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Don't even bother Jesus anymore. Don't even trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus replied on hearing this and answered him, do not fear, only believe. And reminds us of this truth, that when hard times come, we must allow our faith to overrule our fears. Because we're going to have both. We're going to have fears. We're going to have worries. We're going to have anxieties. And we're also going to have faith. And sometimes we'll allow our fear to trump our faith. But I would submit to you that it's in those moments we've got to swap those. We've got to allow our faith to overrule our fears. See, it's so easy to have faith when the sun's shining, isn't it? When life is going well and the birds are chirping and the sun is shining, not 115 degrees, but when it's nice. It's so easy. But then there's moments like this one, moments where we don't know how we're going to get through. And it's in these moments that we have to allow our faith to overrule our fears. That we've got to say, God, I see the problems, but man, I trust you in the middle. Those moments when the waves come, it's easy to feel like our fears are winning. Like we're not winning, we're losing this thing. But that's when we've got to lean in. That's when I believe those moments, the foundation of faith that we've laid underneath our lives is really going to shine through. Have we spent time to build a foundation of our lives before we find storms in our doorsteps? And it's in those moments where that is tested, isn't it? In fact, Jesus talked about this idea of a foundation and a storm in Luke chapter 6. We already looked at this. It says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and he laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Friends, that's my prayer for you, is that you'd have a firm foundation under your life, undergirding and supporting you. That's my prayer, is that when the waves come, your life wouldn't be shattered because you would have a faith, a measure of faith to support you, to sustain you, and that you would allow that faith to overrule your fears and you'd lean in as this man did and trust Jesus, even when it seems impossible. See, all you got to do is get to Jesus. We got to do whatever it takes to get to him. So Jesus says this word. He says, do not fear. You know how many times God has to remind us not to fear? I mean, it's almost ridiculous when you read the pages of Scripture how often he reminds us not to fear. But Jesus says to this man, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. I wonder how often Jesus wants to whisper those words into our ears, and we're not listening. You know what I mean? I mean, it's easy on Sunday morning when the band's playing to lift up our hands and say, God, I trust you, right? Or sing whatever. Sing other songs about trusting in Lord. But in those moments, that's when it's different. That's when it comes out. And it's in those moments, man, we come on a Sunday morning and we're on the mountaintop. And it's like, Jesus, I want to hear from you. And then we find ourselves down in the darkness. We find ourselves getting battered by the waves and we're not listening anymore. Jesus says to this father, do not fear, only believe. Friend, I don't know what you're going through or what sort of struggles are happening in your life, but I want you to hear the words of Jesus this morning. Do not fear, only believe. Trust that he has got this, that Jesus is in control, that he is whispering into your ear as he did into Jairus' ear. Do not fear, only believe. Do not trust the reports that you're seeing. You watching the news, man, that's a depression chain right there. You want to go to depression land, just turn on the news. I don't care what channel. I don't care, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, doesn't matter. Turn it on. Do not trust the reports. And apparently, thankfully for Jairus, he does. He listens. Because he keeps walking with Jesus. And friends, I'm going to just say something. There's times where we want to stop walking. There's times where we get tired. There's times where life hits us between the eyes and we don't know what to do. We got the little birdies flying around our heads. You know what I mean? You ever feel like a cartoon character? That's just me. And you're like, man, life just hit me. And it's in those moments that we have to choose to trust Jesus and keep walking with him. And Jairus does. And as a result, he gets to see the miracle at the hand of God. This is what it says. Verse 51. And when he came to the house, he, Jesus, allowed no one to enter with him except for Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. Jesus is about to do a miracle in her life. He's about to raise the dead, not just figuratively, but literally. He's about to raise the dead. And he stops and he does something that we don't see him do in every miracle. He does something a little bit different. He takes only those disciples with him that have faith to believe for this girl's healing. Let me just say something. When you need a miracle, be careful who you're walking with.
You better say that, sir.
When you need a miracle, be careful who you walk with. You need to watch who you're running with, who you're walking with, because it makes a difference. When you're going through hardships and difficulty, you got to be careful who you're sharing those stories and struggles with, because there's people that are going to blow you up when you find yourself in a hard time. They're going to say, psh, what'd you do? Psh, right? You have those kind of friends? Oh, yeah. Friends? And, you just go, psh, and then there's going to be those that lift you up. There's going to be those that believe God with you. There's going to be those that say, hey, don't give up hope, friend. There's going to be those that say, don't quit before you hit the finish line. Don't stop. And that's the kind of people you need in your corner, the ones that will lift you up, that will pull you up out of that pit when you get stuck in it, friend. We need those kind of people in our lives. And Jesus, he brought this faithful few, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. We don't often think of Jesus having kind of those kind of people in his corner, but Jesus did. You see that over and over again. Jesus brings Peter, James, and John when the other disciples are sleeping or hanging out or playing Xbox or doing something else. When they're watching the football game, he's over with these guys doing ministry and life. And I just want to say, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you have a faithful few in your corner? Do you have brothers and sisters that will lift you up when you fall down, that will help you when you're struggling, that will encourage you, that will point you to Jesus, that will get you to Jesus when you can't get there yourself, when you're tired, when you don't want to walk anymore, when you don't want to believe anymore, when you don't want to hope anymore? We need friends like that. See, this is a reason I talk so often about community groups around here, because you need to find yourself connected to it. Because let me just say it, I need it. You need it. We need it. We need people. We need brothers and sisters to lift us up, to encourage us, to be there with us. Because there's moments where we need to run towards Jesus, where we need to bow before him at his feet and say, Jesus, I need your help. Because there's going to be other kind of friends as well. There's going to be other people in our lives as well that, man, when we run to Jesus, they're not going to understand. Did you catch those people in Jairus' story? Check it out in verse 53. And they laughed at Jesus, knowing that she was dead. See, Jesus says to this man, he says, do not worry. I got this. He says, do not worry. There's no problem too big for me to tackle. That if I'm in the room with you, you don't got to fear. Don't worry about it. Your daughter isn't dead yet. Because, man, even if she is, hold on, I got the keys to death, hell, and the grave, right? We talked about that last week. He got the keys. He's saying, don't worry about it. But he's got friends, and they laughed at Jesus. Why? Everyone knows this girl's dead. They knew that they were right and Jesus was wrong. They knew it. I mean, he is the one that speaks to the waves and the wind and they listen to his voice, right? He is the man that they have heard story about lame legs, him speaking to lame legs and them start walking, to blind eyes and they start seeing, to deaf ears and they start hearing. He is the God who created all things, is the Lord over all things, as the song we sang, hung the stars in the sky and knows him by name.
Yes, he does.
See, this is the same God who did all of those things, but everyone knows this is impossible, right? Sure, he can speak to wind and waves and they listen. He can speak to broke legs and they work, to deaf ears and they hear, to blind eyes and they see, but everyone knows that she's dead. So there's no way he can do it, right? And if it did, it would just be a coincidence, right? She just came back to life. See, when you're going through a hard time, do you have people around you that will laugh at Jesus? Do you have a tendency to laugh at Jesus? We see it over and over in the scriptures, by the way. You're not alone if you find yourself like, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. We see it with great men and women of faith laughing at God, and yet God shows up in the middle of those things. See, I cannot say that in the natural this isn't a challenge. When you see the things that you see with your eyes. But Jesus is still walking. Help is still on its way. And his voice reassures Jairus, do not worry, do not weep. She is just resting, for I've got the power to awaken. Then friends, I want to encourage you with that word. Jesus has the power to awaken dead things in your life. Dead dreams and dead hopes and dead ambitions and dead things that you never thought would ever come about. Maybe you hoped for it for long enough and then you gave up the fight. Somewhere along that journey, someone stopped you. Something distracted you. Something said, don't go home anymore. Don't bring the teacher home. Don't bring Jesus into that situation. It's already done. And if this man would have listened to those voices, he would have stopped and his daughter would be dead. But he said, Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you've got this. Will you trust in Jesus this morning? or will you laugh at him? Will you trust in him, or will you laugh at him? And that's a question before you this morning as well. Will you trust in him? Trust that Jesus is in control, that he's on the throne, that he's sovereign, that he's got your problems in his hand, that he's got it all taken care of, or will you laugh at him? Because you know the answer already. You know that there's no way he could do that thing. Friend, I want to just tell you, God is still in the miracle business. He's still able to do the impossible things in your life and in your story. And I believe that he can raise things to life that are dead. And this morning, I don't know what you're going through, what kind of struggles you got going on in your life. It doesn't have to be Jairus' story. But when we find ourselves overwhelmed or in the deep end or unable to get through it, we got to get to Jesus. We got to trust that he's able to do the miracle. He's able to break through. He's able to transform. He's able to change those things that are unchangeable. We got to get to Jesus. We got to ask for his help. Friends, would you bow your heads with me as we respond to the Lord in a time of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active. We believe that you are still alive, that you're still speaking. And Lord God, I thank you that you are in the house today, that you are here with us, able to bring dead things to life, dead dreams, dead hopes, dead goals, things that we never thought we'd see resurrected, but you are the God of resurrection power. And this morning, we thank you. No matter what hopes, no matter what helpless things we've got in front of us, God, how hopeless we feel, God, we thank you that help is on the way. Help is here. That you're always available to us this morning, and you're available to us right now. And anytime we need a touch from you in our lives, we need your miracle working power, we have to but come to you and invite you into our stories. See, when life overwhelms us, Lord, help us to remember to get to you and ask for your help. In fact, if you're in need of some sort of spiritual break that you need a touch from God this morning, maybe there's something that you're going through or struggling with, or there's something in your heart that you say, God, I need your help. Would you just put out your hands in a posture of receiving from the Lord? I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you this morning. Lord, we thank you that no matter how helpless we feel, no matter how impossible our situations might seem, God, that you are in control, that you are sovereign, that you can speak to the dead and they will rise, that you can speak to the blind and they will see, you can speak to the raging storms and they will find calmness. God, you can speak to our situations as well. And so, Lord, we bring them to you. We say, Lord Jesus, would you come into our house? Would you come into our story, our situation, our struggle, our worry, our fears, our bad news? And God, would you raise it to newness of life? Would you bring healing where healing is needed? Lord, we believe that your grace is sufficient for us, that your power is made perfect in our weakness. So God, we come admitting that we don't have all the answers, but we know the one who does, and it's you, God. So, Lord, this morning we pray that you would demonstrate your strength in our weakness. That while we are weak, you would be shown to be strong. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to find strength in our weaknesses. Remind us that, man, when we're down to nothing, you're up to something. You're able to move. God, when hard times come in our lives, would you give us the strength to allow our faith to overrule our fears? God, would you give us wisdom to know who to walk with when we're in need of a miracle, to find brothers and sisters that would walk with us, that would lift us up, that would encourage us, that would shout out to God on our behalf, that would say, Jesus, I need you to come to my friend. People that wouldn't laugh at you, God. We don't want to laugh at you, God. If there's areas in our hearts that we've laughed at your miracle working power, we said, ha, there's no way, God. Lord, this morning we repent. We turn away from those thinking and we say, Lord, we trust that you're in control, that there's no miracle too big for you. We trust you for it, Lord. We believe that you're in control. Finally, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made the commitment to following Jesus Christ. You've never received his free gift of grace. Perhaps you're here today and you've never started You've never come to Jesus for that first time, and maybe you need to take that very first step of faith, and that's to receive God's free gift of grace and forgiveness. Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father who's in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about acknowledging it here, agreeing with someone here on earth about it. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do just that. I won't call you down front or do anything weird, but I just want to agree with you in prayer. Will you say yes to Jesus this morning? If that's you and you need forgiveness for your past and power for your present, eternal life for your future, you need to come home to God this morning with every head bowed and eye closed. Would you be bold enough to lift up your hand and lift up your eyes so I can agree with you in prayer right now, right where you're at, from the front of the room all the way to the back. Anyone in this place, you say, that's me. I need to receive the love of God today. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are in control, that you are on the throne, that you are our King and our soon and coming King to this earth, Lord. We just give you thanks for that, Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would always run to your arms, not away from them. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this reminder today from your word. Help us to be a people that trust you, that look to you, that trust in you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Turn it over to Miss Rebecca.
So this morning as I'm in prayer time and James is everywhere, and I'm reading, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if you were even listening just a little bit, I think you understood that this morning, that sometimes you really don't want to be that perfect. You don't want to be that complete. You just want the suffering to stop. But God has a plan and a purpose, and he doesn't waste anything, any of that little bit of suffering. So today, as we're getting ready to do our tithes and offerings, we're going to pray over them. Because you guys know it's not about the money, right? It's not about how much. It's about the act of giving. It's about giving back to him who gave us all. I remember buying little french fries for my little guy, and he's sitting there and he puts his hand over them because he didn't want to share those fries. And I remember thinking, boy, you know, I bought those. You know, I can go buy a whole, yeah, I own the fries. I could buy as many. And the fact was, it was that stinginess of heart. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like that's how we are with the Lord. And so if this is only for, if you're a part of New Heart and this is your home, if you're not, this is not for you. Sorry, this is not for you. This is just for us to call a New Heart our home. And we want to give back to the giver. So I'm going to pray over that as the ushers come by. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory, Lord. And you know the needs of this church more intimately than any one of us. And so, Lord, we just ask that the supernatural would happen, that what we collect today would fulfill the needs. And as the season is coming, as summer is coming to an end and fall starts, and we don't know what kind of winter we'll have, Lord God, we just pray that there will be enough in the storehouse to take care of anything that comes up in this building and in this property, Lord, because it is yours. And so we ask that you would bless it and bless the givers in Jesus' name. Amen. While the ushers come by, I'm going to just quickly remind you the Next Steps class is happening right by the donuts. So if you're new, go over there and join us. The other thing I wanted to tell you about is we're starting Monday, tomorrow, Mom Life, which is a program. And let me tell you, when Rebecca Fox showed up with three kids and said she wanted to do this, my flesh said, don't you know you have three babies? You can't do this. But I was wrong, because I didn't realize that the Holy Spirit had put that on her heart, and it brought her and has equipped her.